I'd have to go to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah, chapter 1, verse 1 there. And I want to just talk about just a few things about Jonah. Some simple truths that God gave me about Jonah. And I try to give you a very simple message about missions and using the life of Jonah as an example. And something, just simple truths that God gave me just recently in my Bible study of the book of Jonah. Let's pray and bow our heads and let's pray. Dear Jesus, I pray that you just use this simple message for your honor and for your glory. And I pray that you use it and guide me by your Spirit. And I pray that I'll be a help to this church and this pastor and these people. And dear Jesus, I'm not worthy to stand here, but I pray that you just give me the boldness that I need. And please help me, dear Jesus, to say a few words to be encouragement to each Sunday school teacher, to each bus captain, to each bus driver, to each teacher in the Christian school. And I pray that you just help me to be an encouragement to each teenager and help us have a greater vision for this world and guide us by your Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to commend this church. This church is a church. Out of this church was the founding of FBMI, Dr. Mike Cox. And I have a great respect for Dr. Mike Cox and also this church for the founding of the mission board. I think now they have 140 missionary families, if I got the number right, or maybe a little more or less right now. And I believe that their goal is 1,000 families. And I believe they're going to reach it in the next few years. They're really, it's amazing what God is doing for the cause of missions right now through FBMI. And I want to commend each individual in the church here for giving to the cause of missions, because you enabled something to happen. You started a ball rolling. You started, something started going here that's really impacting the world, all over the world. FBMI, I'd like to commend you and thank you for your giving to the cause of missions. I just noticed in your bulletin that the church is giving maybe $1,500 a week to the cause of missions. And I'd like to commend you for every individual that gives to the cause of missions in this church. But let me go to Jonah here, and just I'm gonna pull out just a few truths. I'm not gonna preach long, and basically I'm a type of preacher that if I try to tell you a joke, it won't come out. I try and try to tell jokes, and now when people come and preach, and I sit back and listen to jokes, and I laugh my head off, I enjoy it. But when I try to do it, I don't do it. And so I'm not gonna really tell you any jokes. I'm just gonna get serious with you tonight for a few minutes and just talk about Jonah. God gave a command to Jonah. Now, if I'm allowed to look maybe between the words here, between a few of the words here, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. And I believe that the word of the Lord that came unto Jonah was a great commission. Was a great commission. Basically, God told Jonah, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And God was talking to Jonah. And God was telling Jonah, I gave you a command. I tell you to go, and I want you to go. And God was encouraging Jonah to go out and do a great work, a giant work, a tremendous work for the cause of Christ. And God gave Jonah the great commission. The great commission that shows up in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts. That great commission, God told Jonah, and I believe that, I don't know exactly all Jonah's upbringing. Now, I know one thing, that God believed in Jonah. God believed that Jonah could do it. God had faith that Jonah was a man of God that can go out and do great things for the cause of missions, for the cause of Christ, and go and reach an entire city. And I believe probably from in Jonah's upbringing, maybe his parents or some friends or a teacher was teaching them God's commands. And the scriptures were taught to Jonah. And Jonah knew that he needed to go out and preach the gospel and tell the people about the salvation to come, the cross. Now here we see a command, the command of Jonah, to Jonah. In verse 2, we see that Jonah arose to go to that great city and cry. Basically, the command was to go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. So God gave this specific command to Jonah to go into the specific city, Nineveh. I can tell you of a city in Argentina called Tucumán, where I serve. It's a city of lots of wickedness. Lots of wickedness. The amount of people that are falling for addictions is incredibly great. We have an RU type ministry. We call it Cry of Hope. And we're using the RU type ministry to reach these people. The addiction of drinking, the addiction of drugs, and other addiction is incredible strong. And the teenagers are falling like flies into these addictions. In Tucumán, Argentina, the rich people are being hit by it. The middle class people, just any class in society in Tucumán, they're being hit by their teenagers falling into rebellion, falling into addictions. And there's a great problem in the city. And there's the wickedness of the city of Tucumán has risen up, just like the city of Nineveh. If you read about the city of Nineveh a little bit later on in this passage, there was great wickedness. And I believe that today in the city of Adrian or whatever city you may name it, there is great wickedness. Maybe you can't see it with your eyes, but behind the scenes, there's great wickedness. There's lots of wickedness. And we don't see it. But sometimes we get a glimpse of it. And now I don't go into video stores, but if you look at the videos that people watch nowadays, incredible. Wicked. Dirty. Demonic stuff that people watch. And it's incredible. And sometimes maybe if you're at Walmart or some type of store, you see some of the videos, some of the junk, some of the games that the teenagers play. It's incredible wickedness. And so here we have a city, as it said, a great city. And God says, cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Basically, God was saying they're lost. They're on the way to hell. Somebody needs to go and tell them about the plan of salvation. Somebody needs to go and preach the gospel to them and tell them how to be saved. But then now we see in verse 3 of Jonah that basically refused to go. And I believe that this story of Jonah, if I can apply it to today, it shows what's happening today in our society. We have a command to go. We know there's a need to go, but just like Jonah, we're not going. We're not going. We failed to go for many different reasons. We failed to go. One reason why I believe we failed to go, we don't really believe that Jesus saves. Oh, he saves me. He saved me. I'm going to heaven, but we don't believe it. We don't believe it. Now, I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the only hope for this world. The salvation through Jesus Christ is the only hope for this world. As a teenager, I saw the Burning Hell film. And if you can get a copy of that film, Pastor, man, I would recommend it highly. The Burning Hell in English. I've seen that film so many times. And I've seen it, the fires of hell and the flames of hell and how people are falling into hell. And I told myself, Do I actually believe this is a hell? Do I actually believe there's a place called hell where people go and burn forever and forever and forever and forever? And I told myself as a teenager, yes, I believe, and I'm going to do whatever I can, whatever I possibly can to reach people. Because there is a place called hell, and Jesus is the only way to heaven, amen? He's the only way to heaven. There's no other way. And basically, that's the only way. If anybody wants to go to heaven, they need to put their faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not by works. It's not by a religion. It's not by joining some club and doing this and that. Salvation is a free gift. And it's through Jesus Christ and Him alone. Back when I was a teenager, I was asking myself, what will I do with my life? And I was thinking, well, as a teenager, I just didn't believe God can use me. And I thought, well, I'd like to get into business and start a business. And maybe make some money, invest all the money I can into the cause of missions, because I believe the missions. And as a teenager, I thought about getting into politics or something else. But I remember as a teenager, I would ask myself this simple question. What do I like to do? Maybe get into business. But I asked myself this simple question. God, what do you want me to do, God? God, what is your plan for my life? God, what are your desire for me? God, what is your plan for my life? Not what I want to do. What is your plan, God? When I was a teenager, I was living in Buenos Aires, Argentina, a city of 12 million people. That city grows an average of 9,000 per week growth. And if I were to start one church that averages 9,000 every week of my life, I would never reach that city. And as a teenager, I asked myself this question, God, what is your plan for my life? Well, God, what do you want me to do? And I was wrestling with this thing about God's will for my life. I just thought God couldn't use me. I said, God, I'm a simple person. God, I don't have any talents. I look at Brother Pickenbaugh, and I admire his abilities. I mean, he probably thinks he doesn't have any talents, but he knows how to play the trumpet, and he knows he has other abilities. But I as a teenager, I told myself, I don't have any abilities. I don't have any talents. And God, you can't use me as a pastor, as a missionary, because I don't have the abilities. I don't have the talents. So I would give excuses why God couldn't use me. And then I still remember my dad. And I admire my dad. My dad's a great hero in my life. My dad's been in mission in Argentina for the last 38 years. And I remember as a teenager, my dad told me, he said, Brian, I want to have an evangelistic campaign. And right next to our, we lived there in a property about the size of this building, maybe a little smaller, the property that we lived in. And next to our property was a vacant lot. Weeds were growing up really high. And my dad said, why don't we get permission from the owner, clean off that lot, and put up a tent, and let's have an evangelistic meeting. And I said, Dad, but the weeds are high. And who knows who, we don't know who the owner is. How in the world are we going to clean that place up? But my dad went out and talked to different people, and we never found the owner, but we basically got permission for the different neighbors. And my dad says, on a given day, we're going to go clean that up. And on a given day, my dad gave me a shovel, and my dad grabbed a shovel, and we went next door, and we started cleaning that place up, and it took a few days. But after a few days of work, thanks to my dad's willingness to work hard, my dad from the Sand Hills of Nebraska, he's a very hard worker. And my dad, we cleaned up that lot. Then my dad got a hold of a tent that would seat 100 people. And I said, my dad, but 100 people, I mean, how are you going to fill this thing up? That's a lot of people. But my dad said, well, let's just put it up, and just by faith, we'll just have a meeting. Eventually, we passed out, I think it was 10,000 flyers all over the neighborhood. And we announced an evangelistic meeting from Sunday to Sunday. And I remember the first night, we had about 30 showed up. The second night, we had about 40. The third night, we had about 50. Coming to the end of the week, we had over 120 show up under that small little tent. It was hot. I remember the mosquitoes were heavy. And they put these little tiny things under each bench that would give off a little bit of smoke. And that smoke is supposed to take away all those mosquitoes go away. And there was hot mosquitoes, but we were sitting there. And I remember the last night, my dad got up, and he basically said one thing. My dad got up and said, I believe that God's calling somebody to be a pastor or a missionary or full-time Christian service. And that night, I put my hand up. And I said, well, this isn't that hard to put up a tent and just pass out those flyers. I can do that. And I told myself, yeah, I can surrender. And I did surrender that night. And I told myself, I don't have any abilities, any great talents, but I can work hard. I can have some faith. I can go out and pass out flyers. I can go out and knock on some doors. I can go out and do something. And basically, I believe that the biggest sin of Jonah here, he believed that God couldn't use him. A scaredy cat. He was afraid. He was scared to death. he just didn't believe God can use him. The same mistake that I had and that most of you have. We just believe that God can't use us, and we just refuse to surrender because we're afraid of the future. We're afraid of what may happen. And here, basically, God called me to preach back then when I was a teenager, a young teenager. I still remember when the first time I went to preach on the street corner. I was as scared as can be to go preach on a street corner. And I thought, there's no way I can go preach on a street corner and raise up my voice and preach the gospel on a street corner. And I was scared to death. But after a few tries and lots of prayer, I was able to preach on a street corner. And then eventually started preaching on a street corner every Friday night for about a year straight. And we were able to see some people saved, and a lot of exciting things happened on a street corner. And I remember we may make a fire on the sidewalk. We put a tin can on the sidewalk, put a fire in the tin can. We burn some wood, and we preach on the fires of hell. And people will come up and listen to us. We pass out tracts, and we try to reach people preaching on a street corner. And I told myself, I can at least go and do something. I can at least go and do something and try to reach some people. And I remember the first time I went out soul winning, I was so scared to death to go out soul winning. I thought there's no way I can do it because I'm shy, I'm timid, and there's no way I can talk to somebody about Jesus. I don't know how to do it. I'm afraid. I'm scared. But I remember eventually I went out. It wasn't easy, but little by little, with God, with faith and prayer, I was able to start talking to people. And as I went door to door and talking to people in Argentina, South America, I still remember when God called me to preach. God told me, who's going to go to Buenos Aires, Argentina and preach the gospel? Who's going to go and reach that great city of 12 million people, the ninth largest in the world right now? And I told myself, well, God, if you can use me, I'll try to go and do my best. I'm out in Buenos Aires right now. I'm hoping that through our preacher boys, through our Bible college, we can eventually send a great team of workers to Buenos Aires, and we can start some churches, some works in Buenos Aires, Argentina. There's already some missionaries working in Buenos Aires, and they're doing a real good job. My dad is in Buenos Aires right now, pastoring two churches in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Just recently, I'm going to tell you about two or three more things to give you a few illustrations about going. Just recently, we were at the Bethel Baptist Church. Some people came to visit our church, and they told us that they were from the city of Loreto. The city of Loreto is about 4 hours away from our church, a distance of 4 hours on a bus. And those people told us when they visited our church, why don't you come to our city of Loreto and start a church? Why don't you come and start a church? And eventually I said, well, let's do it. So eventually we decided to go. We went to the city of Loreto. I brought with me, I think we had almost 20 soul winners. And we had a three-night campaign lined up. I was able to rent a PA system. And whoever had that PA system, that had a humongous speakers. I mean, they were 1,200 watts each. And he set those things up, and he put a little CD of music that I gave him, and he was blasting out the music throughout 4 or 5 blocks away. And that night, we preached the gospel in the city of Loreto. And that night, I think 103 people showed up the first night. The second night, I thought, well, I wonder if any more people show up. When we went out all day, hitting doors all over the city of Loreto, it was 18,000 people. And we had a goal to hit every single door in that city in the 3 days that we're going to be there. So the next day, we went out all over the city hitting doors, and that's the second night, we had just over 300 people show up. Then the last night, I was wondering what would happen the last night. I was wondering with anticipation. But over 600 people showed up the last night. The city of Loreto. And I told myself, just all I had to do is go. And I had a vision. And many were saved. Many people were saved. And today we have a small struggling church. It's not doing very well right now, but a small struggling church we have in the city of Loreto. And basically what we lack there is to buy a piece of property and build a simple little building for the people there. And I believe it'll blossom, it'll grow, because the people are hungry, but we lack a building. We lack a property there in the city of Loreto to reach those people in the city of Loreto. And just recently, Pastor Owens, just this past year, just a few months back, the 1st of October, Pastor Owens told me, Brother George, let's have a big day. And I said, Pastor Owens, let's go for it. Let's have a big day. And I told Pastor Owens a year prior, in 2008, our big day was 583 people. Our big day. And I said, Pastor Owens, I know for sure we can beat that record. And Pastor Owens told me, Brother George, let's go for 1,500. Let's set our goal for 1,500. I thought, whoa, that's way over 583. Way over it. But I love Pastor Owen's vision. He said, Brother George, let's pray. We started to fast and pray. The Bible college students got together and they started fasting and praying. And they started going out, visiting the bus routes. We have 14 different bus routes going throughout the city of Tucumán. And we started praying and we started building up the bus routes throughout the week. And Pastor Owen told me the first Sunday of November will be our big day. The first Sunday of November eventually appeared. And it was probably one of the hottest days of the year, 110 degrees. It was hot. Our building will seat 300 people, kind of tight. And we're planning on just in front of our church where it's a vacant lot that we asked permission to use from the owner. And we're going to have all the services in front of the church because we just couldn't seat the people in the auditorium. Pastor Owen told me that Sunday morning we're going to have over a thousand in Sunday school as far as the children. And I still remember that day, that Sunday morning, I bought a van load full of kids for my route, for my area. But when I got to church, it's amazing. The buses that were showing up packed full of kids. There was two buses that showed up with over 100 kids. And I don't know what the seating capacity is, probably about 48 or 50. And one of the bus drivers said, no way, I'm not going to drive those kids home. And he gave up on me and took off, one of the bus drivers. Left the 100 kids stranded at the church. But that just happened just past 1st of November. And later on, we're counting how many showed up on that Sunday morning. 1,080 showed up Sunday morning. I still can't believe that many showed up. But we had kids everywhere. We had the young little kids at the church, inside the church. And we had the vacant lot in front of the church that's packed full of kids. And we were divided up, all the kids of different age groups. And we had a preacher board preaching to every single age group. And we saw, I think it was over 300 saved that morning. And then Sunday night was to come. And Pastor Owen said, well, we got one more chance. Maybe we can counting the Sunday morning attendance for the Sunday night attendance, they would have one more chance to hit 1,500. But Sunday night came, and all the bus routes went out all over the city picking up people. And to my surprise, over 800 people showed up that night, adults and teenagers. And that church was so packed. I mean, we had people in the kitchen, people in the men's dormitory, people in the patio outside, people in front of the church, people sitting everywhere. And that night we inaugurated our balcony. It was packed full of people too. It was amazing what God is doing there in the work and what we did this past November. I thank God for the vision of Pastor Owens. That's basically what happens is somebody will say, I'll go. I'll go and I'll be crazy. I'll do incredible things and maybe nothing will happen. But I'll go and I'll do whatever I can to get a church going. See somebody say, get a bus route going. I'll go. And I'd like to encourage you as a Sunday school teacher, as a teacher in the Christian school, as a bus captain. And I love to inspire your kids to think about the cause of missions, the cause of reaching this world. This map represents thousands of cities that have never heard the gospel. My heart is broken for Argentina. But I can go to Chile, and I can tell you the same story. Thousands of cities, nobody has gone to preach the gospel. I can go to Bolivia, South America. Thousands of cities that nobody has gone to preach the gospel. I can go to the country of Uruguay or Peru or Paraguay. Thousands of cities, nobody has gone to preach the gospel. And my heart is heavy. I'm not an expert. I don't know how to do all these things and reach all the different countries and all those different cities. I know we have a great Holy Spirit and a great God that's for us and is cheering us on to do great things for God. And I believe that God's going to do it, and it's really His work. I'm just in the way trying to do my best. But I beg and plead with you to pray for the cause of missions. This world needs to be reached with the gospel. And we need to tell ourselves, what can I do for the cause of faith promise, for the cause of giving to faith promise? I believe that some of us could give $100 a week to faith promise. Some of us can give $80 a week or $50 a week to faith promise. You may say, well, that'll hurt. But I believe it can be done. And many more missionaries can go out, and many more things can be done for the cause of preaching the gospel throughout this world. This world needs to be reached, and I believe it can be done. Amen? Amen. It needs to be reached, and it can be done. We need to have faith that it can be done. That this world can be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to believe it with all our heart and live it like it can be done. I beg and plead with you, live it and believe it that it can be done. That this world can be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here Jonah, he was running like a scared cat. He was fleeing from God's command. And he went down into the ship. And he was snoring away. He's trying to forget about the cause of reaching this world. Nowadays, we have so much many modern conveniences. We have central air, central everything. We have a nice home, a nice vehicles, a nice everything. And I believe that one of the reasons why this world is not being reached with the gospel is because of materialism has entered into the churches. And we're getting tied up with the things and material things. And this world is not being reached. And just like Jonah, he said, I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to do something else. I know this church has a great vision. Just recently, earlier I heard about the jail ministry. You have a Spanish ministry. You have an RU ministry. And I know you have the Sunday school and all the bus routes and the Christian school. And this church has a great vision. But I plead with you to maybe think outside the box of going out throughout the world and preaching the gospel more. In the area of faith promise, and maybe even the area of going yourself and seeing the cause of this world and the cause of what's needed to be done to reach this world, the gospel. And I believe it can be done. Here Jonah was fleeing and he was running away. But if you read a little bit farther, it even shows how they threw him into the ocean. But then how God had mercy. A great fish swallowed him up. Eventually the great fish threw him out. And when it probably took him 3 days and three nights for him to repent and get things right with God. But when he got out of that fish, what did he do? Just like a flint, he went to Nineveh. He went to Nineveh. He said, God gave the command to go throughout the world. I'm going to do it. I'm not going to go to the right or to the left. I'm going to go straight ahead and get the cause done for reaching this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to get it done. And Jonah went, and God used Jonah in a great way. God is the God of a second chance. God can still use you. God can still use you in a great and tremendous, tremendous way. I'm going to basically finish the message right here. And let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And let's just ask God, what can I do for the cause of this world, reaching this world with the gospel? And let's ask God to help us to do whatever we can. You have talents and abilities that you can use for the cause of reaching this world. Let's pray and ask God to help us. And let's get on the bandwagon of reaching this world with the gospel and getting the job done. Dear Jesus, I pray you be with this simple invitation. I pray you be with this church. I pray you help us to do the impossible and do more for the cause of reaching this world. Bless this simple message. Bless it and use it for your honor. And for your glory. And I pray you bless this invitation. I pray in Jesus' name.